Being able to variable rate, whether it starts with lime or if it's our fertilizer, whatever it is, being able to place those nutrients where they need to be and get that consistency of a crop through a field, that's when you really start pushing yields. You can't just do it with fertilizer just throw it out there at whatever rates you want to. That's really not the answer. It's that good balance of pH and fertilizer in the right place. It all goes together. So the puzzle is much more important to get all the pieces in the right place than it is just to be throwing, money, fertilizer. That's not good for the environment. It's not good for your pocketbook. There's nothing really good about it. It's just no plan. So that's just not the way to do it.
This is the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. Yara is the global leader in crop nutrition knowledge and the leading producer of quality fertilizer products. The podcast is intended to facilitate the transfer of knowledge for farmers and crop advisors, improving farm profitability and environmental sustainability. With Yara, knowledge grows.
Thanks for joining another edition of the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. My name is Scott Warr, and we're going to talk about the four R's of nutrient stewardship again today, because it's really important. The 4R philosophy is innovative and science-based approach that offers enhanced environmental protection, increased production, and increased farmer profitability, and improved sustainability. And that's what we're all trying to aim for. The concept is to use the right fertilizer source at the right rate, at the right time, with the right placement. We have a couple guests here today that are going to really show us how the rubber meets the road. We're going to talk about the 4R advocacy program that the Fertilizer Institute, in collaboration with the International Plant Nutrition Institute, the International Fertilizer Industry Association, and the Canadian Fertilizer Institute, has implemented to really highlight and showcase retailers and growers that are practicing the 4 R's of nutrient stewardship very well. Today, we're going to talk to a couple recipients of the Advocacy Award. The first is from Greenpoint Ag, one of the ag retailers out in Alabama, Drew Scrimsher. He's the agronomy and ad technology manager there. And his grower, Myron Johnson from Double J Farms, and they're going to join us to share some information and hopefully drop some knowledge with us. We also have Christy Hicks, who's a Yara sales agronomist, that's joining us. Christy, tell us a little bit more about this program. How did you become aware of it, and how does it work?
Like you said, it's an award, or more like an advocacy program, that supports farmers that are doing the right things in the right way for the right reasons. I've known Myron from my days in Extension, and actually went to a cover crop field day or two at his farm. And so, whenever I read about, what all is required for the award, and I've worked with Drew in the past, I thought that, those two would be a great advocacy for the program. But it is about nutrient stewardship, land stewardship, and sustainability.
So did you nominate these two great ag advocates?
I did put a bug in Drew's ear about it. So we all really work together to, support and turn in things and stuff like that. So it was definitely a group effort.
Yeah, it's really a partnership, isn't it, Christy? So the way that this works is the Fertilizer Institute takes nominations in the fall, and then I assume a group of very smart people review those applications, and then they award a small group of people. This year it was 5. I think they have between 5 and 6 every year that they award. And that's what we're talking about today. Drew, can you tell us a little bit about Greenpoint Ag and what you do and how you use the 4 R's of nutrient stewardship?
From what I do with Greenpoint Ag, it all ties in together, and it's customer support working through our, and I'm an agronomist, kind of a regional type job, or have a territory mainly South Alabama and the Panhandle of Florida. but just try to be there for our customers so they can, you know, make good decisions on the farm, you know, and a lot of it comes back a lot of times to nutrient management. But just offer that support. We go out and kind of discuss their ideas and things they've done and just be there for, you know, just to, like I said, technically answer their questions and all their needs. We have a lot of, you know, kind of precision ag programs and things like that that we utilize as well. I know ours is called AccuField, but, just offer all the support we can through that.
Well, where the rubber meets the road is on the farm itself. Myron Johnson, can you tell us a little bit about your farm and how you became a farmer?
I can. As far as how I became a farmer, I was just kind of born into the occupation. So fourth generation on both sides of my family. So we farm is what we do. But I can tell you that I had a brother and a sister, and my brother's philosophy on the farm was, if you've seen one peanut field, you've seen them all. So needless to say, he didn't stay. So it's not just if you're born here, you stay here. You got to love it, because there's a lot of times I just feel like we're along for the ride. We do the best we can, make good decisions, but ultimately weather and environment dictates what happens in the end as far as a result. But we're a peanut, cotton, corn, cattle operation, and here in the southeast corner of Alabama. And you know, we just, it really doesn't matter where you're at in agriculture, or it's here in the Midwest, you just figure out how to survive in your part of the woods. And we all do things totally different because of the environments that we're in. And so we learn our place, and we try to do the best we can with what we have. And people like Drew and Christy, when she was in extension, those are, I can't tell you how valuable they are to us as growers, to be able to reach out and get that kind of information that would take us several years to figure out on your own. And we don't, most of the time it's 1 year at a time. We don't have several years. So it's a privilege to be part of this with these guys.
Hey, Myron, tell us maybe an example of something that you've learned from Drew about the 4 R's of nutrient management. What are some things that you've changed that have really affected your farm in a positive way?
I'm going to say cover crops is the biggest change that we've had probably in my entire farming career, being around it. The implementation of cover crops, basically we started because of we were dry land farmers, totally dry land. We're looking for a way to capture, conserve moisture, you know, keep it and run it through the plants and, you know, make a crop out of it instead of losing it to evaporation. And wind erosion was a problem. Water erosion was a problem. Those are the simple things. But when you really get into the heavy covers and the thick covers, then you get into retaining water and being able to capture and carry it to a crop. So I'm going to say cover crops were the biggest change. And it's really, our land has changed since we started doing it. I'm talking about the organic matter, the ability to, I love now to ride around after an inch and a half, 2 inch rain and see no water standing on my fields, no water running out of my fields, and neighbors who have just tilled a field, which you would think water would run into, it's all running out. It's amazing. I mean, it's just not what you would expect. So that's probably been the biggest takeaway I've had.
Hey, Drew, tell same question to you. What are some of the big lessons that you've learned through your long career about the 4 R's of nutrient management and how you help advise your clients?
I'm going to say it's more of what I learned from Myron. I mean, he's
there. You
he's,
go.
He's one of those people that when you show up on the farm, he's thinking, and he's already got things, you know, turning in his head. But I mean, we've worked together many times on. He'll bring it, and I love this. I mean, I love these challenge type questions. Hey, why does that area of the field look so bad? I mean, when it comes down to it, you know, what's going on there? You go figure it out, and let's see what we can do, you know, to come up with it. So, and whether that's, you know, creating any type of management zones or, you know, figuring out, do you know, how much further we should look, and then what to apply to it, obviously. And then he's been working years on, I guess, variable rate lime and nutrients as well. So just kind of complement that as well and be there for that challenge of it.
Well, it's not the same as it was years ago where you just, spread a whole bunch of fertilizer over the entire field. The variable rate and the precision application of the nutrients is really important. And that's where that 4 R's, applying it at the right time, at the right place, at the right rate with the right fertilizer. And it sounds like you guys have created a very good partnership where you can learn from each other. Christy, how do you play in this partnership as a manufacturer of fertilizer?
Well, us being a manufacturer, we obviously like to support anyone that's using good stewardship and sustainability in the field of agriculture. We definitely need to tell our story and make sure that people know and the general public know that we are, you know, doing what we can to preserve the land for future generations. And, you know, these two guys, they come to mind to kind of as a perfect example of how, you know, farmers generations from now will have land that's probably in better shape than what these guys, you know, received it, so to speak, just because of some of the efforts that they go to make sure that they are taking care of it and it'll be passed down in better shape than what they received it.
Excellent. Hey, Drew, tell us a little bit about how you design a nutrition program specifically for Myron's farm. Let's just take cotton, for example. How do you design a nutrition program for one of Myron's cotton fields? How does that come about?
Really understanding his yield goals and where his expectations are, and then anything that, you know, trying to put together things that he can do. I mean, when it comes down to, you know, trying to find the right forms, understanding his soil types, that has a lot of variability in our part of the world. I'm sure it does everywhere, but especially for us in some of these sandy soils. So, you know, is it going to be something that is allowing a lot of leaching on nitrogen, things like that? But, when it comes down to it, just kind of understanding what he's doing and getting that feedback from him and what he's trying to reach or accomplish.
Myron, are you able to follow the nutrient plan to the T? Do you question Drew? I'm gonna put Drew on the spot here. Do you question Drew? Do you say, Drew, I think you've been reading too many textbooks. You need to get out here with your boots and walk my fields a little bit.
Well, I'll, in the back of my mind, I always remember they are selling fertilizer. So, you know, that's okay. That is happening in the background, but, those guys do a good job. They're out to accomplish the same goals that I am. That's to make a crop, in a way that we can be profitable and sustainable. And so it's a real, you know, it's a effort on both parts. You know, I was thinking this past week, this time of year, we start out, you know, we've already grid sampled. We have soil samples that are ready to go. So we're in the planning stage right now of the things that we're going to do. And I know this coming year, I was just talking to Drew about we're going to go to placing fertilizer in furrow, which we have not done in a long time. So we can reduce some rates. Fertilizing rates. And, of course, that'll save us some money. It's a little more time consuming, but, we're always looking for a change and, you know, unless you think outside the box and sometimes we get stuck in that box, we need somebody to come and tear the lid off of it. And Drew, you know, he doesn't mind ripping a Band-Aid off every now and then. But we need that so we can, you know, get headed in the right direction. So these guys are invaluable source of information.
It really is. It's good to have a different set of eyes that may have more of a holistic view, not just on your farm, Myron, but he's working with multiple growers and seeing, hey, this grower over here, they did really well doing this program. Maybe we should try that and collaborate with you to come up with a good program. I really like that. Drew, tell us a little bit about Myron. How good of a farmer is? See, I'm trying to pit you guys against each other. I tried to get Myron to throw you under the bus. Now, Drew, it's time for you to tell us a little bit about Myron. What do you enjoy about working with Myron?
I mean, I can't probably narrow it down to one single thing, but I can tell you his attention to details. And you mentioned, you know, as far as getting things done, he gets it done. And that's always refreshing to see the importance. You know, you go out and you study something and you kind of feel like you have it figured out anyways. And then somebody respond, you know, and that's mine. I mean, the attention to details and that you don't see that very often, but he's got it.
And back to what Myron was joking about just a minute ago, you know, that Drew really is selling fertilizer. You know, the one thing that I have found as I've been working with a lot of retailers and even with our sales agronomists here at Yara is, yeah, we're out there to sell product. But I think that's secondary to helping the grower be successful and sustainable. They're willing to make decisions that are in the favor of the farm and the farmer, even if it is not making as much money for the company that they're working for, the retailer. And in the long run, it's the right thing to do. And in the long run, it's going to be profitable. So thank you all for doing that. Christy, tell us a little bit about how the four R's in your area and your focus as you're dealing with our retail partners, what have been the key learnings that you've seen?
Well, I think one thing in particular is we have sandy soils here in the Southeast, especially in Alabama and Georgia. And so we see a lot of split applications of nitrogen. So we see a yield increase with that. And also, you know, we don't lose as much nitrogen, you know, through leaching whenever we do that. So I think there's several practices here in the Southeast that we have that maybe aren't in other parts of the country just because of our soil type. And, you know, we base our rates off of yield goals here. So, you know, if we're on a sandy field with no irrigation, that nitrogen rate is going to be a lot different than, say, if we do have irrigation and we can push yields. So I think everybody's just mindful about each field is different here. We have a lot of different or a lot of variability here. So we really have to tailor our nutrient needs to almost each individual field, you know, and certainly to each farm. So I think that's the big thing I see here in the Southeast that we're mindful of.
Excellent. And I'm glad you brought up the soil part. Myron, you mentioned that you have your soil tests already done this year. How important are those soil tests for you to decide what plan you're going to come up with?
Well, you know, without, I don't even know how guys get started without a soil test. I mean, you're just like throwing fertilizer to the wind because you're really not sure. And I'll tell you, if I found out anything on yields, it's consistency of a crop through the field. So being able to variable rate, whether it starts with lime or if it's, or fertilizer, whatever it is, being able to place those nutrients where they need to be and get that consistency of a crop through a field, that's when you really start pushing yields. You can't just do it with fertilizer just throw it out there at whatever rates you want to. That's really not the answer. If it's that good balance of pH and fertilizer in the right place, it all goes together. So the puzzle is much more, it's much more important to get all the pieces in the right place than it is just to be throwing, you know, money, fertilizer. That's not good for the environment. It's not good for your pocketbook. You know, there's nothing really good about it. It's just no plan. So that's just not the way to do it. So, and it all starts with a soil sample and grid samplings, even though you feel like they're expensive, they save you money. The first go around, you'll save all that money in lime application costs, much less anything else. And when you start improving yields, you really get your money back. So it's not a difficult decision. It's just one you need to make and move toward. At least that's what I found out in my situation. It's just something you need to do.
Yeah, you'd never want to blindfold the pilot that's flying you across the country, do you? You need to make sure you know what you're working with, and it can change. And to Christy's point, each field is different, and you know, you need to do those soil samples even within the field and find out where that variability is, so that you can customize that program. Drew, one last question for you. How have you seen products change over your career? The nutrient products, have they changed much?
I would say overall, I mean, there are a lot of new type products out there, and just racking my brain to come up with specific ones, I can't right now, but yes. But most of all, I mean, kind of the change in prices really drive a lot of, and I think about nitrogen with that, really drive a lot of the decisions there. It seems like for several years, you know, we may be in a lot of liquid, you know, nitrogen being used, and then the next year it may be, or several years later, whatever the markets dictate, may be a lot of dry stuff used. One thing I will back up and say, if that's okay, is another thing that, I think about with the four R's is the time, you know, of it being applied. And that's one of the things that I focus on too. A lot of times it's not about, hey, let's go out and put this extra fertilizer. You know, that may not be the route to go, but let's split up what you're doing, or maybe even, you know, using less fertilizer to go across, but just specifically the right times that the crop's going to need it, and of what the environment's going to dictate as well. So look at that a lot of times, just as important as what, how much we're going to use. So
I think that I'm glad you brought that up, Drew. I think that's, you know, one of the key aspects of the four R's is the timing. You may be able to get away with using less product, which is good for the environment, using less product if you're applying it at the right time. If you're applying it the wrong time, maybe that nutrient becomes less effective, and so you're wasting money, and it's not great for the environment. Thank you very much, Christy. What excites you in 2021? What gets you out of bed in the morning about working with these partnerships?
Well, I'm a true field agronomist at heart. I enjoy being in the field. And as you know, in the wintertime and with COVID, we've had way too much screen time. So when I hear about the first corn going in the ground, I'll be there in a few days to see if it's up. So, but I think just generally, you know, we've got the Yara incubator farm there at Auburn, and this year we'll be putting in corn, cotton, and soybean trials. So that's something that we're planning for and looking forward to. And we want to, you know, bring some valuable information to farmers and to our retail partners from that research farm. It's large acre research. And so, you know, it's more of a real world, you know, picture, I think, of crop programs that'll come out of that. So I think my main excitement is just planting season starting. So,
hey, so you're one of the recipients this year, Drew and Myron. What do you get for that? Is there like a big like Oscar trophy? Do you get a free trip to the Bahamas? What do you get for that? A nice little certificate printed on somebody's printer?
I'll let Myron speak on that. I mean, it's ultimately him. I mean, obviously, so he does a wonderful job. So,
what do you get, Myron?
I think Drew was holding out on the prize. I'm not sure. I think that's why he's wanting to be quiet. He must have it stored away somewhere. But you know, I just appreciate being able to talk about farming. I enjoy it so much. Any opportunity I get to talk about it and maybe share a little information might help somebody. That's the fun for me. So I enjoy working with these guys, and maybe there is a prize coming. Push them up. I don't know. We'll see.
Well, I'm gonna put Christy's feet to the fire. At least you're gonna get a Yara hat out of this thing, right, Christy?
I've got one in the truck, so I'll make sure that happens.
She was saving that, Myron. Now I have her committed. You're gonna get a new Yara hat today.
Last hat in the truck, Myron gets it.
Yeah, and my wife is going to be so excited about my addition to my hat collection.
That's all she thinks you need is another hat.
Another hat. Yeah, well, that's right.
We need to get a little bit more creative.
I will say this. We can do that. If you will. I mean, the biggest thing is, and I've known Christy and Myron for a while, being in South Alabama mainly. I'm not originally from down here. I'm from the north part of the state. So whole different world almost up there. But I mean, just getting to work and then the recognition from that. I mean, people like Christy and Myron, I mean, their heart's in the right place. They're out here, you know, working with people because they truly care. And I mean, I've knew that from Christy and then, and coming down working with Myron, you know, as a grower and I mean, obviously a customer of ours, but the service and support, just overall, you know, working with that type of people. So it's been awesome.
Well, and really the collaboration, whether there's an award or not for the 4R advocacy program. And I think there is. I think I read somewhere, Myron. So I think you're going to get more than a Yara hat out of this. But the whole thing is this collaboration and the sharing of ideas. That's how we become better. And that's right. If we find some people like Myron and Drew, like you're advising that you're doing something that works, we need to share that because it, really we're one big community that's trying to provide food and textiles for the entire world. So we thank you for your diligence. We thank you for pushing the envelope and doing a great job. And congratulations on your award.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, we hope that this grew your knowledge. If you want to learn more about the 4R Advocate Program, you can go to nutrientstewardship.org. That's where you can see the applications, past winners. I think that these winners would be more than happy to talk to you and teach you some things that maybe would help you on your farm or with your advising practice. So thank you very much, and stay tuned next week for another edition of the Crop Nutrition Podcast.
You've been listening to the Yara Crop Nutrition Podcast. For more information about our company, please visit us at www.yara.com or yara.us, or for Canada, yaracanada.ca.